not from God, we're going to end up frustrated. In order for authority to effectively produce positive results, it must be given to us by God, and that word "and" is important, recognized by man. Okay, I've got 3 credentials in my wallet, right? But how much influence could I have on you with all my 3 credentials if I wasn't asked to be here tonight? Nothing. I could have a PhD. No difference. It must be given by God and recognized by men and women in the body of Christ. Only then can it be received. Jeremiah, poor guy, he's called the weeping prophet. Was he a true prophet? Sure he was. But his own people did not listen to him. So he wept and wrote Lamentations. Leadership is set in the body to serve. Again, that word serve. Do serve. Do serve. We need more servers and givers. Serve. By providing visions. So be careful. Don't desire the office of a pastor if you're not willing to lay down your life and serve. And let me share with you something, folk. Most senior pastors, and I'm sure your pastors are no exception. You know how they became senior pastors? Because once upon a time, when there were like just 10 or 15 people coming, they would come and pray over empty chairs, and they would dust the chairs, and the pastor's wife probably went and got the toilets clean for people to come in and pray. And to come and worship God and for God to build that church. And now we sit back and think, why aren't they asking me to preach? That's how they began. You desire the office of a pastor, of a spiritual leader, this is what it entails. Are you willing? If not, say, thank you, Lord, I'll just run my business, I'll have my factory job, I'll just do what I'm doing. It's much easier, my friend, to work your factory job and spin out auto parts than to be a pastor. You're only working with auto parts. It's much easier to be a farmer, to grow grain, or to be a dairy farmer and to look after cows. It's much easier to handle cows than human beings. It's true. And that's a compliment to you. You know why? Because human beings are much more intelligent. If you think it's so easy, here's some other allegations thrown against pastors. Their job's easy, man. I go to work 5 days a week. I'm 48 hours, 50 hours. Well, why don't you quit your job and pastor? We'll see how successful you are at it. People who talk like that, I figure if they start up a ministry, it'll end up being a deliverance ministry. Instead of chasing demons, they'll be chasing the people out. If you think it's so easy, just go and try it. Those are real thoughts that we need to be challenged with. Do you want a terrible, honest confession from me? I thank God He's not called me to be pastor. Honestly. You know, here's another thought. As a congregation, let's talk about submission authority. You think, oh man, pastor, he preached the same message last year. I remember. Every year he has to preach one message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just 2 or 3 scriptures he changed in between. My friend, I believe with all of my heart, every year we need a message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're not the only cookie that comes in this church, you know. There are other people. There are new people. There are converts. There are people who have come from non-spiritual backgrounds. They need that message. But me, I come in once in a blue moon or once a year or whatever, and you think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And you go to your pastor and say, wow, Andrew, he was great. What are you going to have him back? You just hurt their feelings. Because about 40 to 50 Sundays in the year, they're preaching to you, and it becomes old hat for you. And this guy, you know, I do the same seminar in another church. I don't even have to work up another bead of sweat to do it. But he's got to come up with a new message next Sunday.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't be more honest with you than that. You understand when I said, I thank God I'm not called to be a pastor. I told you there's a message I preach on Andrew. I've done it about 50 times around the world. One church doesn't know what I did in the next church. Did you ever hear someone being that honest with you? I hope you don't mind me being honest. But I've found that the Spirit of God is so incredible, He'll take that message and customize it to that congregation. I have never in my seminar on submission authority brought those points at this juncture. God wanted you to hear that tonight. He's customizing it to VFF tonight. I hope you don't mind my honesty with you. It's okay to tell them that you enjoy this ministry, but make sure you tell them that you enjoy their ministry too. That's the point. don't take for granted what's under our nose. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. Don't let the enemy do that with you, my friends. Those as the leadership is set in the body to serve by providing vision, direction, order, protection. Those with submitted hearts see leadership as a covering. In fact, I should be wrapping up soon. Is that right, Pastor Mike, Debbie? When did we start? 6:30. Oh, you're doing great. I'll wrap up in a paragraph or so. Keep some for tomorrow, right? Those with submitted hearts see leadership as a covering, while those with rebellion in their hearts see leadership as a lid. Picture a cauldron of water on the boil. You know what happens when that thing starts to bubble, my friend. That lid starts to bounce. And you don't get that off or turn that fire down, pew, the whole thing's going to spew over. Rebels see leadership as a lid, pressing them down, bottling them in. Those who are submitted see leadership as a covering, like an umbrella from the sun or the rain or the hailstones. Now you know in your heart whether you're submitted or you're a rebel. Maybe half yours is an umbrella, the other half's a lid. That's a first. I never shared that thought before. That's why we have half and half, you know. That's creative. That just came up at the dinner table tonight. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is so awesome. He can take the simplest things in life and do a number on it. I love it when he does that. 67% of people would rather follow than lead, but 3% have vision. But those 3% are the tough ones who challenge the leadership at every turn in the road. Well, after this seminar, we've understood how to use the word nevertheless. If Jesus did it, who am I to balk? Thank you. Sister, raise your hand. Thank you. That's a tremendous heart attitude there. I mean, she meant that, and others, yes, I received that. That's what her heart was saying. Submit one to another. Remember we covered this in Ephesians 5:21? That comes before wives submit to your husbands. Submit one to another. Submission is also a heart attitude from the heart. Yeah. Some of us carry certain tudes around. Attitudes. It's a heart attitude. Submission should be voluntary to caring leadership. And really, if you didn't love and appreciate your pastors and leadership, I ask you boldly tonight, what are you doing here? Come on. It should be voluntary. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus totally cares for us, so we totally submit to him. Benefits of submission, and I think I'll close here tonight, okay? That's a good point. Oh, maybe, okay, let's see, this page here. Benefits of submission, 4. 1, you have protection from false doctrine. Protection from false doctrine. Remember I mentioned about running hither and yon to the Civic Center in Baltimore, wherever you get every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming down? I mean, some of them come up with some wild things, believe you me. I mean, here's one thing that I experienced in Brisbane, Australia, from one of our big crusade guys in the USA. Now, if it's negative, I'm not going to tell you names. I told you that. They are so adept at taking up their own offerings. They are masterful in taking up their own offerings. Okay. Here's an auditorium of 7,000 people in Brisbane, Australia. And after building up the case and saying what awesome things, you know, la-da-da, la-di-da, he said, okay, now we're ready for the offering. And he said, well, if you don't have any money, turn to your neighbor and ask them to write you a check for $1,000. And when you got it, tell them you return it in the millennium. Personally, remember I talked about integrity. That was not funny for me by a long shot. I couldn't stand another 15 minutes. I paid $5 just to park my car in that Civic Center. We left. If integrity is not at the base, my friend, I want no part of that ministry. Now, some of you might actually be supporting the ministry, but God bless you anyhow. And by the way, let me quick put this in. Your entire tithe belongs to the local church. I don't care who. I ain't mentioned names that I like. It doesn't matter if I like him or you like him. They don't get 1 cent of my tithe. If I choose, I may give them a love offering. Now I use the word give. You may give an offering, but you pay your whole tithe in the local church. I'm not getting into details, maybe another time. But don't dare to, and some have the audacity to divide the tithe. Let me tell you, much as I love John Hagee and Joyce Meyer, your child gets sick and is in some local hospital, you can call John Hagee, he ain't going to come and lay hands and anoint your oil. Dream on! Much as I love Joyce Meyer, I think she's a fantastic teacher. Somebody, your loved one dies, she ain't going to come and perform the burial. Dream on! Who are you going to call? Tell me. Talk to me. Yes. And how dare we divide the tithe and shunt it off to these international jet-flinging, jet-swinging ministries. In fact, tonight, there's a love offering for us. Here's what I say to people. You don't have to participate if you don't like the way I look or what the Spirit of God said. Just sneeze when the plate comes around. Or tap the bottom and pretend like you put something in it. It's voluntary. You may give an offering, but don't you dare put a penny of your tithe in that plate for the love offering for this ministry. We want to continue to operate under the blessings of God. And there are ministries who ruthlessly, unconscionably, will ask you for and take your tithe from you. So you know what I'm thinking about those ministers. Hello. Sorry. Now that was free, actually. Just the Lord had that come out tonight. We have protection from false doctrine. Two, we have a united front to combat the enemy for spiritual warfare. We have a hedge of protection. I have two thoughts under that. How can the shepherd care for the flock if some sheep are constantly slipping through or jumping over the fence doing their own thing? Stay within the fold, friend. I'm not saying you can't ever hear. You don't even have to go to the civic center. You can get these guys in your living room. You know what I'm talking about. You know, but if you go flying off on every tangent that they get a hold of, how can your pastors adequately shepherd you? So I don't listen to some of these guys, but I keep it within perspective. And girls, Joyce. There was an excellent real-life exercise done with school kids. I'm talking about submission, being under inside the fold. They had a school campus and a playground with no fence around it. And they let the kids go out at recess time. You know what they found amazingly? The kids huddled close to the building and played close by. They were insecure with no boundary. Then they constructed the fence. And the kids were free to run all the way up to the fence. They were secure within the boundary. We need the parameters of the covering of the body of Christ. Boy, they're much more with it tonight than this morning. What happened? They had a good dinner. That was it. A lunch. Three, there's strength in numbers. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is. So I commend you highly. I can say some nice things too, you know. You come out twice in a row today. While others are probably fellowshipping at St. Mattress. There's another good one. It's called Bedside Baptist. There's strength in numbers, the corporate anointing. And four, there's a greater release in ministry and you can impact more people. I'm amazed at some people, they just fellowship. You ask them, where do you fellowship now? You hear they left a certain church or there was a problem in the church and the church broke up, you know. So they, where do you fellowship now? Oh, we fellowship at home. So I ask them this question. I love to hit this. So you mean you take the tithe from your left pocket and put it in your right pocket? Have fellowship at home. So I'm my own covering. Like there used to be a song when I was a kid. I'm my own grandpa. It's funny, I know, but it tickles me so. I'm my own grandpa. Kind of ludicrous. So you church in your house, you just take the money from them. That's your missions giving now. Come on, friends. By coming into the corporate body of Christ, it gives you greater release in ministry. You can minister to the children. You can minister to the youth. You can minister in the cell room. You can be a servant of the Most High God to a more fuller, fulfilling capacity. Practical applications of submission, and this paragraph is it. I mean it. Number one, you can ask for for help. How are there 3 points here? That's it, 3 points. You can ask for help in time of need relating with the person or the leader you have a relationship with. I said practical applications of submission. In other words, if you are submitted to your leadership, then you have the authority to pick up the phone and call. But if you're just in and out, you know, when you feel like it, you're just sleeping, you laze about, you don't want to take any responsibilities, how dare I expect them to jump and come and serve me and anoint me with oil and pray for me, etc., etc., etc. If I'm submitted to my leadership, I have the right to ask. I mean, not audaciously, but, you know, it's appropriate for me to ask for help in time of need. Two, we can receive counsel and direction for our lives and ministry, especially if there's a major change in direction. We can receive counsel and direction. Three, then our leaders will be willing to listen to our insights that we feel we may have. But if I'm not committed to the vision of the church, friend, you can forget it. The pastor may humor me by letting me have an appointment in his office, but that's the end of the story. Then we have the authority to be able to share insights which may be for the congregation to the leadership in humility. Now here's a thought about that. On the one hand, neither you nor the leadership have the whole picture. We know that only God has the whole picture. Right? So, God could use you, if you are in submission to your spiritual covering, to share some wonderful insights that maybe they've been praying about, and God could use you to put in a piece of the puzzle. But now listen closely to your insight. Suppose you share a certain insight with your pastor. You take 45 minutes in the office. You share with them in detail. And what happens if it's not acted upon? You get huffed, you get ticked off. This church, they don't listen to you. Yes, he didn't listen to you. The point was, he didn't sense in his heart, or they didn't sense in their hearts, that they didn't say it was wrong or bad. It may not be part of the vision that God has given your leaders for this church. Or it may be part of the vision, but it's not the time. The timing is off. So now get this scenario. You shared 45 minutes what was in your heart for this church. The pastor was gracious. They gave you the time of day. They listened to you, but didn't do anything about it. 9 months later, you come in the church on Sunday morning. Pastor Mike stands up and says, I believe there's a directive here from God we have for this church. While I was praying this week, God seemed to confirm this in my heart. And he stands up and outlines what you shared with him 9 months ago. And you're thinking, finally the penny dropped. No, it's just that. It wasn't the timing 9 months ago. But God used you as a vehicle. So instead of getting burned up on the inside, just trust in God. He did your part. Back off and pray. Worship God. Submit to your leadership. Now what's worse? He stands up 9 months later and says, this is the directive we feel for God. I've shared this with the leadership. We're in agreement with it. And we ask you to join and flow with us. And he doesn't even mention your name that you gave the idea. Ah. Now that's like rubbing salt, isn't it? You think, I can't believe my ears. I mean, you keep thinking, maybe, well, after the message, you might give my name some credit. You're nothing. It's over. They've dismissed you. Aaron, your head's ringing. Friend, what's the point? So because I shared it, I was waiting for the recognition. See, God's dealing with that in my heart. And you know what? It is quite possible that Pastors Mike and Debbie have sincerely forgotten who shared that insight. Because there's so many people that come and share insights with them. But God has now resurrected that in their hearts and confirmed it at the right timing with the leadership. He simply doesn't know which one. And you're getting all het up about it. Are we willing to just serve? Submission involves suffering. He didn't mention my name, God. Nevertheless. Pastor Mike, back to you, Sister Debbie. God bless you.
Amen. That's great. Well, let's have the worship group come up, and they're going to lead us in a song, and we want to give you the opportunity to give and sow into the ministry. Again, we believe the workman is worthy of his hire, and he's come to bless us with the ministry, and we want to bless him as well. If you're writing out a check, somebody asked me about that, please make it out to Victorious Faith Fellowship, and we'll make sure that he gets those funds. Why don't we stand, please?